This is a Capricorn FM podcast.
The pass rate, the education here in Limpopo. So we've got 66.7%. And if you were to say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 with the last one, we got the lowest in terms of percentage. We're continuing this conversation, right? So I've got from Bill, Mr. Tlas Mutlatlule, and I've got Mr. Monaro Nevari, right, from SATU, who are sitting with me. I've got Dr. Chifularo Joe, who is joining us on the line. So he's a neuropsychologist and curriculum specialist. That is Dr. Chifularo. He's very well traveled in the education sector. I think maybe my panelists might know him. Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to Progressive Talk.
Good evening. Presenter and the listeners of Capricorn FM.
Good evening. Right, so what are we going to do? We want to talk about education, the state of education in the province. We just spoke to the MEC. You had a take on issues around the results. I know we speak a lot on the phone, but today I thought let's sit together. Let's have a conversation. What is the state of our education here in the province? So between now and the next 15 or so minutes, this is our conversation. And at home, of course, you can engage with us. You can give us a call or text on 079-899-6226 or call on 0872-889-6997. I'll start with Dr. Chifularo. Dr. Chifularo, when you look at the matric results for 2021, what is your overall assessment of how we have done? We've got 66%, but is that the whole story?
No, fine. Thank you very much for having me in your show. If we look at the results last year, first of all, we must look at check what Umalusi has just said about this result. And indeed, Umalusi said there was nothing to compromise credibility and integrity of the results, which means, you know, generally everything went well, during the exam. Now let us look at, you know, the results themselves. Mm. If we check, you know, the results last year, particularly if we come back to our province, we'll realize that, you know, in terms of performance, indeed, we've gone a little bit down by 1.5%, if I'm not wrong, compared to, the previous one. Mm. You know, that is when we are looking at the percentage.
Okay.
But if we look at the quality and the quantity of the results, this year, these results, you know, were better than the previous one, which I think, you know, some people who are looking at the percentage, they said, oh, Limpopo got, you know, 66%, and which is number 9 in terms of our province, then it's down. But if we look at the quality, the number of bachelors that we managed to produce as compared to the previous result, this is better than that, the previous one, comparatively speaking.
So in terms of quantity and quality, you say it is an improvement?
Yes, it is. It is.
Why doesn't that improvement translate to the overall percentage, if you will?
No. The overall percentage, you know, we're looking at the number of, you know, students who enrolled last year. You know, most of them, you know, the number was too high compared to the previous one. There was an increase, if I'm not wrong, of more than, you know, Let me just check again. Of more than 26,000, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure the MEC was even saying that.
Yeah.
And, you know, by the way, when we say we're looking at the results, we look at the four certificates, rather, or categories. We have got the bachelor, we have got the diploma, we have got higher
certificate.
And the ordinary one. If we look at the bachelor side, you know, which is the quality, you know, it's higher than the previous one. The factors that I think they made this one to be the best one, if we compare to other provinces in terms of what this court got through, you know, they were going through the lockdown. you know, we had, you know, load shedding. And our province is very rural. I don't know any place where we can say it's urban. It's mostly semi-urban. And yet, when we look at the other provinces are more urban than rural. And in terms of facilities and resources and infrastructure, we are the worst in terms of, you know, set up in our school.
Okay.
So that's why I say, under the conditions, I think we had better results.
All right. Now I hear you. Just 20 minutes after 7 o'clock, progressive talk on Capricorn FM. But let me bring in Peu here. Mr. Mhlathulwe, what is your general reaction? We've had the MEC speak not long. We've got Dr. Chflaro there also speaking as well, and he gives a view of when you break it down. But as teachers, what is your take on the results?
Thank you, presenter. And as Professional Educators Union, we have a number of issues to point out to say, despite the COVID-19 that attacked us in 2020, we believe the Department of Education should have learned a lesson from 2020 going into 2021. The lockdown, the hard lockdown, should have allowed them to prepare to say, at a time when they said they wanted to save the academic year, there should have been a plan in place to say, if this COVID-19 continues in 2021,
yes,
what is our strategy of making sure that teachers are in contact with their learners? We realized that in 2021, there was no strategy at all. They expected that contact, the physical contact, to be there. And when the COVID came up and reinforced with their different variants, the department was caught pants down. We believe, as Professional Educators Union, the plan, the 2021 plan, should have been addressing the COVID also, to make sure that remember, education is a right to learners.
Yeah.
And we believe the Department of Education, politically, they should have aligned with the redress in the democracy.
To
make sure that the rural schools are equipped at a level that they will be able to match the former Model C schools. That will be assisting the learners that are coming from the disadvantaged communities to make sure that they compete in the corporate world just like any other learner in South Africa.
Now I hear you. Mr. Navari, what is your take?
No, thanks and greetings to the listeners.
Yes.
Maybe we'll have to quickly look at the quantitative level of the results against the qualitative level of the results.
So you heard the point that Dr. Chflaro made, right? About breaking it down to the quality of the bachelors that were attained, the certificates and so on.
Yeah, if we are taking it from that end.
Yeah.
Let's take, for instance, what in terms of learner candidates who enrolled at the Northern Cape, in terms of numbers, then you will be realizing the candidates there were 12,187.
Yeah.
Then if you check the bachelors in terms of Limpopo, much as Dr. Chflaro indicated that bachelors are in terms of quality there, you will be having 28,075. Then in terms of quality, it's very much clear that indeed Limpopo performed. But there are aspects which we need to look at in terms of finding out a way of dealing with the impediments.
Yeah. Impediments, yes.
What is it that is blocking us from attaining it to the highest level?
What is that?
Yeah, for a start, let's talk to the number of progressed learners in Limpopo. In terms of numbers, we realize that there were about 15,065 learners progressed.
Yes.
Then if you check how many passed, 4,150, about 5,000.
Yeah.
So what is it that deterred those learners from attaining best results? They were having enrichment classes as a department.
Yeah.
But the focus there was not on those learners who were progressed.
Okay.
The focus was general. Instead of looking at those learners who were progressed, maybe intensifying enrichment classes, they failed to do that. So that in itself assisted in terms of making or putting a gloomy picture of our results.
Mr. Mhlathole makes a point about in resources, equipping learners equally. Limpopo, Dr. Chiflaro makes a point that Limpopo can go as far as being semi-urban. So it's generally rural. What is your take, Mr. Navarro, on that one?
Maybe in terms of resources, let me not focus on the learners and focus on the curriculum advisors.
Okay.
Are they resourced? No. If we're talking about, like Peo indicated, that the issue of the department failing to look at the issue of COVID.
Yeah.
When we are saying now we are transmitting information through data.
Yeah.
Are they having resources or gadget to do that? Currently, if you look at or question one of them or ask one of them, we will be telling you they ended up limiting even the data provision. So as a solution to that, can we have data at the level of district and circuits so that those curriculum advisors may go to the circuit or district in terms of transmitting information to the educators?
Let me bring in Dr. Chiflaro. Doc, so two issues. We're talking about resources there, but Mr. Navarro is bringing a point that even those that are supposed to transmit information are not resourced. What is your take there and this issue of progress learners and its contribution? Just briefly. Then.
Yes, yeah. I really concur with Navarro and the other colleague there.
Yeah,
but when it comes to resources, I'm telling you, Limpopo is not compared to these other provinces. And this goes very far because the department must, check the budget that they have and see how to assist the teachers. You know, teachers are pulling very hard when we talk about, resources.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been a teacher for almost 40 years. I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
You know, our province, our teachers are not resources. When we come to, staff establishment, you find a school having only three teachers from grade 8 up to grade 12. And the other one, one teacher is expected to teach almost 94 lessons per week. It can't happen like that. So let alone all those other, issues that, the department, using their budget cannot meet. We have got, ordinary, support that we need, psychosocial support, curriculum support. We don't have enough, curriculum advisors, well-equipped curriculum advisors to assist teachers in our school.
But the issue of progress learners, what contribution did they make?
Progress learners is another very, very difficult, problem because they need extra, support as compared to the other ones. The teachers who taught there, they realized that this students cannot make in the next grade.
Yeah.
But, according to the policies, there must be progress because the condition says you cannot stay at this, grade for this year. So those ones, they need extra, support from the department.
Okay.
And teachers were not getting enough of support. That's why I say, progress learners are the ones who, more support.
Let me bring Mr. Mhlathole. Mr. Mhlathole, on what we have just mentioned now, the issue of progress learners there, Dr. Chiflaro is talking about psychosocial support as well. What is your take? If there is a point you have noted when we're talking that you wanted to start with, that's fine.
Okay, thank you. I agree with the doctor.
Yeah.
The issue of progress learners, remember, they need time in terms of remedial education, making sure that there is a revision on the work that they couldn't do. Remember, any learner that is progressed is progressed with the aim of the next teacher assisting this learner with the area that the learner could not meet the requirements in the previous grade.
Yeah.
Now, if the contact time is shortened in the next year, where the new curriculum should be given to this learner. What about the issue of a plan to develop this learner about the area that the learner still needs support? It's the contact time was very limited because it was below the plan. Remember, we also had in other grades the issue of the trimmed curriculum.
Yes.
In 2020, this learner had what we call the trimmed curriculum.
Yes.
Now, in 2021, instead of this learner getting
an extra time on the allocated plan.
Mm.
The learner is getting less than what has been planned,
okay,
and cannot meet the support that is required in terms of the status of the learner.
Are educators, Mr. Navarro, equipped to support learners, to help them with the conditions of COVID, which brings in limited contact time, issues of resources in rural areas, which is we generally are. Are you as educators feeling you are being supported, you are being well-resourced for that?
In all honesty, the support, necessary support was not there.
Okay.
It was not there. Basically, when we'll be talking about resources either way, when the curriculum was trimmed, the teacher-learner ratio also increased on the other end. Because of the number of learners which were expected. So learners became more than teachers.
Yeah.
So in terms of human resource, the number of teachers was limited.
Yes.
A class was reduced to a number of 20 learners with the very same number of educators who were teaching a mass meeting of 90 learners.
And you expect that situation to continue this year? Do you expect changes?
No, changes won't be there. Even if we are saying there will be provision of mobile classes,
yeah,
there won't be changes.
So what do we need to do, Mr. Mtlatlo, to improve? Because so we are saying the situation is likely to remain the same. So what are we supposed to do?
Presenter, let me be honest with everybody, including the listeners.
Yeah.
Remember, I said initially that education is a right to these learners in terms of the constitution.
Mm.
And remember, we are talking about more than 32% of the learners who could not make it in grade 12.
Mm.
And if these learners are analyzed, you would find that most of these learners come from rural areas.
Mm.
The under-resourced, the poorest of the poor.
Yes.
Those learners are coming from that area.
Mm.
If we look at the factors that caused this, I think my colleague there in SATU has already indicated
that
a class that carried 40 learners had to be reduced, had to be cut into two parts.
Yes.
When the teachers remained the same.
I hear you, but that's still the problem. What is the solution?
The solution is the issue of e-education.
Mm.
E-education was adopted more than 10 years ago.
Mm.
But instead of the department empowering teachers, giving them resources, doing what we call teacher development so that they can be in contact with the learners everywhere they are, making sure that there is infrastructure also in rural areas, that has not been done. Remember, if you look at the independent schools and the former Model C schools, teachers are always in contact with learners.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not only happening in our rural areas.
Yeah.
That's where the learners would find themselves in the bush and they will be coming to school after a month or so with the rotational timetable that is working against their rights in education.
All right, let me bring in Dr. Chiflar. Doc, what do you think we need to do? I just spoke to the MEC and I was asking her about circuit managers, people in acting positions in management. She says there was a moratorium and we know where that comes from. There were financial issues, departments were in serious financial dire straits. That situation will not change over time. So what kind of solutions can we have to address these challenges that educators are raising?
Definitely, she's very right. You know, the decision must come from the executive, from the legislature. They must lift the moratorium and they must have permanent, you know, educators. They must have, you know, education planners to plan ahead in time. They need to look at the infrastructure in terms of resourcing it, you know, classrooms. Particularly, you know, supporting educators. Educators are, you know, pulling very hard. So if, you know, the Department of Education can look at what they are being given as, you know, the budget from the Treasury, they allocate more to the resources because this affects, you know, everybody. You know, grade 12 results affect everything.
Mm.
So if we cannot, you know, improve on that, we are still going to find the very same thing.
Okay.
Because we have got quite a number of students who have failed this year and they were told to come back to the class. And now we also have those who have been progressed from grade 11 to join this group, and together they are going to be, you know, quite a big number, and yet, you know, we're not seeing the staff, you know.
I hear you. Mr. Nevari, what do you think should be done? What can help here?
It's a very critical one. It needs all of us.
Mm.
It needs all of us because if you check what was happening, like the doc indicated, the issue of lifting the moratorium, it was our clarion call from time immemorial.
Mm.
We were still on that.
Yeah.
But much as there is this moratorium, something can be done. It's not like money is not flowing in, money is not flowing out.
Yeah.
Money is flowing in, money is flowing out. Where is it targeting?
Mm.
That's the question.
It's targeting at salaries. That 80% of what was coming in was paying salaries.
Then the 20%.
It must
be redirected.
The other things, the lights, the what's these other things you have in schools, norms and standards, and that's the answer of the MEC on the 80%. Yeah, but go on. Yes,
much as we are limiting ourselves in terms of talking to percentages, because sometimes percentages, there must be a question in terms of percentage. 80% of what? Then 20% of what? It will be telling you. If we are talking about 80% of a certain figure, then the 20% will be 20% of a certain figure, which can be doing something, assisting the process. Because structures are there in place, but they're not moving because of resources.
Resources, yeah. Okay. So all I seem to hear is resources. Am I right, Mr. Mtlatlolo, as we wrap up?
If perhaps the those who have powers to influence the budget can do so, to make sure that the budget is increased, we'll have more resources, and these resources should not be given to schools on a uniform basis.
Okay,
the basis of redress should always be there. Make sure that one day, perhaps there should be a target to say, in 3-4 years, we must see these schools in the rural areas at the same level with those that are in town.
Let me wrap with you, Dr. Chuflaro. So issue is the resources. That's your final take as well?
Yes, no. Resources. We need the resources. It's fine. We are talking about salaries, but we need the resources to assist teachers and learners at school, because that's where we are focused.
Okay.
Teaching and learning. That is key.
All right. Thank you, Doc. Appreciate you staying with us on the line. Mr. Mtlatlolo, Mr. Nevari, thank you very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
That was a Capricorn FM podcast. For more podcasts, visit capricornfm.co.za.